You're a wizard, Harry. Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Order of the Phoenix with
Vijaya Shrestha,
Sarah Tompkins,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 3, The Advance Guard, and we talk about the Quill of Acceptance and the Book of Admittance, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Man, we're back for our third episode of Quizzitch. Who's excited?
I am.
I'm so excited, but also very nervous.
I gave some bad answers last time, and I don't feel great about it.
All right.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
It's Sarah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's true.
Okay, I'm ready.
That's exactly what I'm always saying.
Sarah and me, let's go.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
What is the address of the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix?
Beep!
Jaya.
12 Grimmauld Place.
Yeah.
Yay!
All right, so question two of this episode, I believe it's me and Sarah again.
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready now. Okay. What are Fred and George's flesh-colored string inventions called?
Bah.
Sarah.
Oh my god.
God, I was going to say extend an ear, but it's not extend an ear. Oh my God.
I know what it is.
Go, Michael. It's your fault. It's your turn.
Extendable ears.
Yes, Michael.
Oh my God.
Wait. How are you so close?
Do what? I get a half point for extend an ear, which is a better name than extendable ear?
I will give you half a point for that.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds great.
Because like, wouldn't have, but I'm not the keeper of the question.
Extended ear versus extendable ear. Extended ear is a way better name. I work in PR. They should hire me.
They should.
Megan, how many points do I get?
You got a full point.
Yes!
Well, you can't give a full point and a half
Oh,
point,
no.
Though.
Yes, you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, because I said so.
Don't argue.
Megan makes the rules, and I'll also
Michael,
like...
I was advocating for you only to get.
but because I did extend an ear again, better name, Michael, you should be able to get the extra point next turn. So I'll wait out.
Well, I'm ahead of you. Don't worry. So it all works out.
I agree with Matt that some questions are worth 1.5 points and some are only worth one.
That's, you know, we live in a crazy world and sometimes things like this happen.
Michael, I'm advocating for Sarah to not get the half point and only you get the point.
Hers was a creativity half point.
I would never question Megan.
Thank you.
Is what I'm saying. So I think we should just go with everyone.
I'm just going to... Megan, I think Megan should be the keeper of the rules. So Megan, you do what you need to do.
Okay. Well, if it shakes out and it's unfair in some way...
I don't think it is.
I will check it out. But I think it should be okay.
No, I trust you and I believe you.
Okay.
I think it's totally fine.
Thanks, guys.
We don't have a point economy that we need to worry about. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Chapter 3, The Advance Guard. So Harry is in just full-on Harry mode.
What does that mean?
He's a very grumpy boy right now. He writes terse letters to Sirius, Ron, and Hermione, which essentially are, when am I getting out of here? And he's just having a bad day, and he's angry about it.
You assholes.
All this stuff is happening to him, and no one will tell him a damn thing.
It's frustrating.
So Harry tells Hedwig, don't come back without good long replies. And I'm sure...
Hedwig's like, fuck you.
I'm sure nothing bad will happen.
I can't make them write you letters if they don't like you, Harry.
And, like, Harry goes to sleep or whatever, and next he's like, all right, finally, I'm going to get some good long letters back. But Hedwig didn't come back.
Is he dead? Is he a ghost?
She.
He gets nothing for 3 whole days.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say weeks.
What if that was the last thing you ever said to Hedwig? Harry. Maybe you should reconsider. Rein it in a little.
I think he did feel a little bit bad afterwards.
Good.
Harry spent the entire time just being extremely moody. What if he's really expelled? Would they snap his wand and make him live with muggles?
Ugh.
Is it so bad that they're going to send him to Azkaban? Like, he's going through just all of this stuff. So basically, essentially, he's just laying in his room and moping and sulking, being angry.
Look, Harry, I've been there. I'm in this place where I'm like, what if I don't have a job? Am I going to have to go panhandle? How am I going to support myself?
Who hasn't had that spiral?
Be the lady, be a lady of the night.
I legitimately have the spiral, like, on a regular basis that I'm going to end up homeless on the streets. So I'm like, and then this is going to happen. This is going to lose everything and I'm going to be homeless on the streets.
It's very easy to spiral out. So at least on this, I get it, Harry.
So on the fourth night, Uncle Vernon comes in.
Vernon.
And he tells Harry that they're going out. They're going to, he's very smug too. They're going to an award ceremony for the best kept suburban lawn in England.
What?
Yeah.
That's some serious shiz.
Harry's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I could care less. I could care less. It is possible for me to do it, but I'm not going to.
Because that's how little I care.
That's how little I care. And so he's just like, whatever. But then he hears a crash in the kitchen and voices.
Oh, no.
And there's a whole group of people downstairs.
Whom are they?
It's...
NSYNC.
It's Alistair Moody.
What?
And...
Wait,
and
is it the real Moody?
It's the real... Well, he thinks it's the real Moody, and Lupin's down there.
What are they even doing? Oh, is it a surprise party?
What a fun surprise. Oh my gosh.
It's just like a whole bunch of wizards and witches suddenly in his kitchen after like all this time, nothing, and then suddenly... bunch of witches and wizards show up. And they go through the entire rigmarole and they're like, oh, you look just like James, but with Lily's eyes. They do that whole thing.
I know.
Always.
And apparently, the Tonks, the tricky one, he meets Tonks for the first time. And apparently she tricked the Dursleys into leaving. There is no best kept suburban lawn in England contest ceremony.
Shoot. She's so smart.
Yeah.
I wonder what house she was in.
They're going to be so mad when they...
They're going to be so mad.
Oh, man. Oh, man. But it won't matter because Harry won't be there when they get back because he's getting out of here.
Jailbreak!
Yep. And they're not going to the...
Wait, does he get to pick up $200, 200 pounds on his way out?
No, do not pass go. Oh. Do not collect 200 pounds.
Michael did not understand my joke.
I don't... Oh... Yeah, and so Harry's like, all right, let's go to the borough. And they're like, you idiot, we're not going to the borough. We're going to HQ, and it's undetectable.
You're such a dumbs.
You moron. And Lupin's like, hey, Harry, look at all these people. They all came to be your guard. Isn't that great? But Harry just wants answers, and no one will tell him anything still. All they will tell him is that they're going to take brooms. So they're gonna fly their way there because JK hasn't invented Sidelong apparition yet. So they're just going to take the brooms.
To come.
So Tonks goes up with Harry to help him pack his room up. And she just squints really hard. She's like, my hair doesn't look good. And she squints really hard and her hair turns from purple to pink.
Well, that's really freaking cool.
Uh-huh. She's a metamorphmagus. Metamorphmagus. Metamorphmagus? Metamorph mages.
Keep going.
This is like when last episode when
Dementors, Dementoids, Dementoids, Dementkinds, Dementmen.
Me Tamorph Magus.
Yes, I think that's it.
So anyway, she can change her appearance.
Tambien.
She can change her appearance at will, and she was just born that way, and that's just how it is.
Baby, she was born that way.
The whole thing.
I was going to make that joke too.
You're welcome.
And yo, check this out. She's an auror. An elite.
Auror juror.
She's an elite crime fighting dark wizard catcher, as is another person there, Kingsley Shacklebolt.
What a bamf.
Mm-hmm. Then she does a spell to pack up all of his stuff, and then I'm assuming tripping the...
Trim balls.
Tripping the trace again. But she's very impressed with his fireball. They have a fun little conversation.
I bet she is.
And so then they head downstairs, and Harry can't use his invisibility cloak because it'll fly off or something. Huh. So Moody casts a disillusionment charm on him.
That's what safety pins are for.
And he essentially becomes, yeah, right? He essentially becomes a human chameleon. And Moody starts barking out a bunch of orders, and he's like, if you, someone dies, keep going. And all this, like, really sort of over-the-top stuff. And he's like, Harry, if everyone dies, keep going. You know, all this crap.
Every man for himself.
So they finally take off, and Harry's flying again. He's like, oh, thank God, because he loves to fly. But Mad-Eye, like, wants him to, like, fly through clouds, and it's suddenly really cold, and he's like, oh, God, I should have worn my coat. And he's, like, freezing. And he's never been this cold except for that one Quidditch game that he played.
Nope. Abort.
So they fly and fly and fly, and I think they're flying to London? And they finally begin their descent, and they land in this kind of shitty area. Lupin uses the Deluminator. Where did he get that from? I guess Dumbledore lent it to him. And he puts out all the lights, and they give Harry a note, and the note says, the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix may be found at 12 Grimald Place, London.
And then it catches on fire.
Yes. And that is the entire chapter.
Wow, that's a lot of happenings in there.
Man. So there's a lot of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of new people. So we meet the advance guard, and we meet Nymphadora Tonks.
Woo!
And Kingsley Shacklebolt. So that's Woo! Fun.
Love them both.
Daedalus Diggle is there, who Harry has met once.
Oh, yeah. Is he the guy that bowed to him or shook his hand twice or something?
Yes. Yes, that. We've got Elpheus Doge, Emmeline Vance.
He's not going to come up later.
Hestia Jones, Sturgis Podmore. So there's just all these people. This big crowd of folks. And then we have the thing that we learned about, the thing that Tonks is, which I'm not going to try to say again.
Metamorphositis. Mordor.
We find out a little bit about, well, we find out that the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix exists, but we don't know why he's given a note. We don't know anything about it other than it's, what did they say? It's untrackable.
Traceable? It's
undetectable.
Unremarkable.
I think they probably said HQ and not HQ.
HQ. Hosh.
I sincerely doubt that. So I guess my main question is, really the best they could do is brooms?
Right? They couldn't even get a special port key?
There's no flu powder.
You can't get a port key because it has to go through the ministry, and Fudge probably has all the shit. But
the actual technology doesn't seem like it would have to go through the ministry, right? Like,
no, port keys have to be approved by the ministry. It has to go through the ministry.
But couldn't you just have, like, an illegal port key?
Yeah, what about the one that took Harry to Death Town last book?
Yeah,
these are ministry employees.
Are they, though? But they're freedom fighters, first and foremost.
Yeah, but they're freedom fighters that usually follow the law, so...
I mean...
They're probably not going rogue like Crouch Jr. and Voldemort.
I'm just saying.
They're not on the same level. I feel like even if someone had brought it up, someone would be like, another person in the order would be like, we can't be the same as Crouch Jr. and Voldemort.
But even just the train, I feel like it's cold outside. Are brooms getting there faster than a car or a train?
A regular friggin' car?
Also, I just feel like when you're on a broom, Dementors have a upper hand. Because you can fall off your broom because of Dementors, because Harry has done that before. But Dementors they're not riding a broom, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I made a quip about it earlier, but do you think that JK just hadn't decided that Sidelong apparition was a thing yet? Or
probably.
Probs.
Or is that like, oh, you have to be... Because it's not like, Dumbledore does it first with Harry, but then it's just like...
So here's another question, though, about the side of apparition. Does it need, like, a certain level of wizard, like, magic or, like, expertise to be able to do that?
Don't the kids do it in book 7? Like, when some of them are hurt or something, or...
Harry hasn't apparated before, though, right? So that could be dangerous, potentially.
Well, he hasn't really apparated when Dumbledore does it. He's only practiced a couple of times.
Right.
I don't think they do it when the kids are hurt in book 7.
No.
I only remember Dumbledore doing it with Harry for the side part, side, like, along, whatever.
Because I know somebody got splinched or whatever.
Ugh, the worst.
Oh, it's because Hermione does it. Hermione does it with Harry and Ron, and then Ron gets splinched.
Right.
Yeah. But Hermione, I would argue, is also more capable than probably a lot of adults.
Right. And somebody did get splinched, so there's that.
You can't risk it.
Yeah.
Can't risk it.
And maybe there's some sort of magical trace and they don't want to get too close to Grimmauld Place with apparition. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like Hogwarts, maybe you can't apparate onto the grounds of Grimmauld Place or close to it.
I think you can apparate into Grimmauld Place because Harry, Ron, and Hermione do that in Book 7.
Okay, fine, nerd.
Well, I mean, they say specifically, like, oh, you're too young to apparate.
Sarah just called me a nerd on the Harry Potter podcast that she's a co-host for. But I am being the,
actually.
They did operate into the house, and that's why they had to go to the Forest of Dean.
I was just spitballing. I was just trying to, you know.
Because don't they operate right onto, like, the doorstep or whatever, right?
Okay. Point taken.
Have you even read these books, Sarah?
Who is Harold Porter's?
No wonder she hasn't won the Quidditch Cup since season one.
Oh!
She's probably leading by like 6 points right now, and I'm going to really, really regret. Anyway, I guess that's my chapter.
Yeah, that's good.
The chapter was good. That sick burn at the end was not nice.
Not cool.
No.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Thanks, but no thanks. But also thanks.
Hey, so this has nothing to do with a chapter that we just recapped, but this is a cool original writing from J.K. Rowling and Pottermore. Do y'all want to talk about the Quill of Acceptance and the Book of Admittance?
I would love to. What the heck is this about?
Sounds super official.
Let me tell you, I myself have dubbed this the good cop and bad cop of admittance into Hogwarts. And you will see why.
Well, you've thought about this a lot.
So there is a small locked tower at Hogwarts. It's not visited by any students. There is an ancient book in there. There's never been touched by human hands since the four founders placed it there. So like, I don't even remember. Merlin started at Hogwarts in 900 AD, so after, or BC, whenever he did. So way, 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 way in the past. So the book has, like, bound, the binding is peeling, it's bound in black dragon hide, and then beside it is a small single silver ink pot, which also has a long faded quill. So that's the Quill of Acceptance, and the book is the Book of Admittance, and they constitute the only process by which students are selected for Hogwarts.
Interesting.
So if anyone has ever understood how this magic works, they have never confessed to it because it kind of saves the staff explanations to parents who are like, why didn't my kid get into Hogwarts? Why can't my kid get into the soccer field to play? He's very good. You know, that kind of parents.
Ugh, helicopter parents.
Yeah.
Broom.
So all those parents, they're like, my child is magical. I've seen him turn a coffee pot into a flaming pile of dog feces. They don't have to explain. They don't have to like explain to them by like, oh, your child didn't get into it because this other student had more magical abilities. They could just be like, it's just up to the Quill of Acceptance and the Book of Admittance. We don't have anything to do with it. We don't select the students. It's all up to the long lasting magic that the four founders placed there themselves. So the book and Quill's decision.
It's like naughty or nice.
Yeah, that's true. You either one or the other. So the book and the Quill's decisions are final, and no child has ever been admitted whose name has not first been inscribed on the book's yellowing pages. So if your name's not there, you're not getting in. There's no going to the Minister of Magic. There's no going to the Headmaster of Hogwarts.
So do you, it's like, you write your name, and if it's like, yeah, Then you're in. If it's like, mwah, and eats your name, like, not in.
Well, we'll get to it. Okay. We'll get to it. You're getting ahead.
Sorry. I'm just very...
Calm down, Sarah.
I need to know.
That's why I said the one is a good cop and the other is the bad cop. So the Quill is a good cop because as soon as, like, a child first exhibits any sign of magic, the Quill is, like, super into it. It's like, yes, this child has magic, and it attempts to inscribe the name of that child on the Book of the Acceptance. So the Quill, whose feather has been believed to be taken from an augury, which is also known as the Irish Phoenix.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they're known to repel, so it's not an actual, like, obviously an actual wildlife creature that exists in actual real world, but in Harry Potter world, the augury feathers are known to repel ink, and the ink pod that it sits in is empty, and no one has ever managed to analyze precisely what the silvery liquid flowing from the enchanted quill is. Maybe it's unicorn blood. We don't know.
Yikes.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, so as soon as it, like, kind of detects, like, the first exhibits of signs of magic, it's like, yes, I'm into it, I love it, let's put this kid down on the Book of Acceptance. And the Book of Acceptance is the bad cop, because it's like, if it's not feeling the magic, or if it's not feeling the child, it'll just the book will shut itself.
Okay.
Won't let the Quill put his name in it, or his or her name in it.
Okay.
So the few that have observed the process, they just, like, the Quill is more lenient than the book. Like I said, the book can be dramatic and will snap shut unless the child exhibits, like, dramatic evidence of magical ability. So the Quill, being the good cop, is like, this child just moved a teaspoon, like, a foot.
Wow.
He or she needs to go in the book, and the book is like, no. If the child does not survive a tiger attack, it is not going in the book.
Wow.
So it's a balancing act, which I think is kind of good, I guess, but it seems like the book has more power in this than the Quill, because the Quill just tries to write it in and the book can shut itself. And, well, anyway. So, an example.
Well, I guess the Quill has to find the kid or something, right?
Yeah, and I guess the Quill also has power because unless the Quill inscribes the kid's name in the book, the kid does not get accepted into Hogwarts.
Interesting. Gotcha.
So an example of this, like the balancing act between, or like the push and pull between the Quill and the book, is the Neville Longbottom, which we know, whom we know and love.
We do.
When he was born, the Quill attempted to write his name and was refused by the book.
Oh no!
Because it snapped shut. So even the midwife who attended to Alice, Neville's mom,
oh no,
failed to notice that Neville had managed to shift his blankets more snugly over himself moments after birth. She just assumed that his father had tucked him in. And throughout his, like, first, like, 8 years, his family, like, extended family, persistently missed faint signs of magic in him. And aww, he was a disappointment to all his uncles and aunts.
That's so sad.
And the book. And the book.
Wait, the book was disappointed in him?
Well, the book was not letting the Quill put his name down.
Okay,
because
fine.
The Quill was like, look, this kid is magic. Let me put his name down. And the Quill is like, he has not survived death, apparently, because he would only let the Quill put his name in after he survived a fall that should have killed him.
Right.
And then the book was like, all right, you can put him in here.
So they're constantly looking, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It says, the write-up says, the book's sternness has a purpose. Its track record in keeping squibs out of Hogwarts is perfect. Not magic children born to witches and wizards occasionally have some small residual aura of magic about them due to their parents, but that magic wears off, and it becomes clear that they do not have the ability themselves to perform spells. Yep. So it says the Quill's sensitivity, good cop, coupled with the book's implacability, bad cop, have never yet made a mistake.
How do they know, though? Because they could have rejected people who could have been amazing.
That's true.
Like, all, and they clearly they accepted Tom Riddle, so that seems like a mistake.
No, it's He's I don't think magical, they're like judges though. Of character. They're judges of magic. So the Quill is like, okay, you know, it's sensitive to magic at any level. But the book is like, no, we need a higher standard of what kind of magic.
Gotcha.
Magic level that they possess that we allow in this school.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the Quill of Acceptance.
It's pretty cool.
And Book of Admittance.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
You might be accepted by the Quill, but you will not be admitted by the book.
That Quill is still trying to put me in there. I know it.
You just have to wait for it, Michael. We just have to drop you from a very high height.
Yeah. Let us do that.
Does Hogwarts have continuing education?
Night classes, but it's like K-N-I-G-H-T, and it's taught by Sir Cadogan. So, good luck.
That's a good question. Maybe we should have a segment about that.
I'm trying to get my W-G-E-D.
W-G-E-D. Your W-O-L-S-S-S?
Sure.
W-O-W-L.
Sure. Why not? So, yeah, that was that, and do you all have any questions or...
No, except I just...
How do you do it, Vijaya?
What?
Tell us how the magic works.
How do you do all this research?
Oh.
I was wanting to know the actual magic behind the Quill.
I just read things and it gets into my brain and then I go from there.
It's kind of magic itself, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, have you been accepted?
Do you think I would be accepted and admitted?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
definitely.
That was it.
100%.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. That was really cool. I did not know that, actually.
Yeah. I didn't either.
I learned something new today.
I've actually wondered how they do that, like, other than...
I still wonder how many people...
If you're magic.
...have not been given a chance or should have been given a chance.
So I think...
Sarah, it's a book, for Christ's sake. God.
But what about all those people who just potential?
Michael, they're just ordinary people, okay? Extraordinary people.
Oh my God.
People.
Everyone's extraordinary, guys.
All right. See you next week.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Our editor is Alan Matthews. Podcast art by Jesse Carlton and music by Sean Fagan. Want to help out? Leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter. I'm Thrifty Nerd, and these other two are Her Lady Tompkins and Ethnic Ninja. I'll let you figure out which is which. I'm ill-prepared for this.
No, you're not.
It's not going well. It's not going well. But you know what? That's okay. We're all here to have fun.
Exactly.
Right?
And I can't pronounce words. It's great.
Words are hard, though.
They're super hard. Again, I honestly only know how to pronounce some of them because of the audiobook guy.
I also listen to the audiobook, though, so I have no experience. None whatsoever.
Well, that's all right. I guess I had to listen to it more recently, so I'm going to go with that.
More recently than on my ride home today.
No, not more recently. Well, nope.
You're very kind, but...
Wait, hold on a second. I'm learning more about my coverage, meaning that I might just do this. Okay, you know what? Because everybody at Kickstarter supported me, I'm actually going to do this thing right now where I think
shit.
Oh, man.
No, I just like, it's not fun to not be able to do what I want to do. Hold on, let's see if it'll let me hotspot it.
Connection seems good to me.
I was like, is that a joke?
You. Sarah, let's always get 1.5 points between us.
Okay. Fuck you all up.
So Harry tells Hedwig, all of my angst is making my dog upset. Just go and sit on the porch.
No, I want to play with you, Daddy. Look how cute he is. I just want to boob his snoot.
Yeah, okay. No one loved him.
He brought his little bone up there.
He's like, no, you love me, right?
Come on.
Is no one else in the house right now?
No. Go.
My dog does that when he wants to play. He comes up to you, boops you, and then kind of backs up.
Yep.
Kit!
You're fine. Just calm down. Relax. Shut up.
Now you're biting my arm.
He loves you so much.
I just started.
I like that he was quiet during our shift. I'll get a picture of Kit when you reappears.